Welcome to the Beacon Church podcast. We love that you've tuned in. We hope this message not only inspires you, but more importantly, we pray it helps you grow closer to Jesus.
Father, this morning, I pray into every situation that's in this place, every family, every individual. Lord, only you know what some people are facing today. And Lord, we don't want to be people that sing songs like that, but in our heart, there's so much fear and so much doubt, and there's an incongruence in our heart. Father, we want to believe every word that we're singing. So Father, I pray that your strength, your grace, rest upon this place today. Encourage hearts. We're not here to compare ourselves with the people around us. Father, we're here to be the person that you've called us to be, and I pray, Lord, in this place, there are men that are afraid. There are women that are afraid. There's people that are facing things that they haven't really divulged to anyone else. But Lord, you see. You're the God who sees. So I pray today, Father, for supernatural strength and grace to rest upon each life. That, Father, we would see that stories redeemed are often way more powerful than stories removed. And your power to redeem a life, redeem a marriage, redeem a heart, Father, it's unlimited. So, Father, we thank you today. We thank you for your plans and for your purposes for each and every one of us in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. And amen, amen. You can be seated. So great to be with you today. Thank you, musicians and singers and everyone else. Just on behalf of Kathy and I, it really is a joy to be with you and especially to be part of this series, to be with our good friends, Pastors Az and Beck. Personally, I love the black box. I thought that was enough until you showed what the ultimate dream is. And I only love the black box because I know how long and hard a journey it has been over those 28 years and over these last 5 years. And just Kathy and I are sitting there in awe of what this church has achieved and what you're going to continue to achieve, and so proud of you guys. And I know it hasn't always been easy, and but just so proud of the way that you've kept the vision burning in your hearts and the love for the people. And for all the leadership team that carry responsibility here, from the kids' church, the committee of management, the musicians, the pastoral, to everyone here, thank you. Thank you for your love for this church, for the people, for the community. To see this nation come to Christ, to see Redlands for Christ, what a great cause to live for. And we get to be part of this legacy series where, one of the things I love about our network of churches, INC, is that whatever we purchase stays within the network. And so what we don't have is new generations of pastors, and this is what some denominations do have, new generations of pastors who come in and see an asset that a previous generation bled for and gave to, like I saw in the video this morning. And then suddenly the new pastor goes, I don't like that, I'm going to sell it, and I'm going to buy something that I find is much cooler for me. And I have nothing against people, you know, building modern style churches and selling assets when it's a wise decision. So I don't have anything against that. But what I do not like is when people just take lightly what previous generations have given toward and bled for. And one of the beautiful things about our movement, as you sow into this legacy, is knowing that there is no capability of this couple going, hey, let's just cash in. Let's just sell that property because this happens. And let's just, you know, buy something else and we'll take a little bit of cream off the cake because we've worked hard and we deserve it. Nothing can happen without layers of leadership above them that sit nationally to go, is this a wise decision? And so what you've purchased and what you're building will be in this network of churches and be in this region for generations to come unless you find a better option. And I love that, to know that what, as a mum and dad, you're sowing into, your kids, as they walk with Jesus, will grow in and flourish in, and their kids, if the Lord prevails, will grow in and flourish in. It's quite a profound thought. And so as we talk about legacy, it's not something that we're trying to, because I'll get to it. I won't jump into it. So it's great to be here. Let me share with you. Jehoram was the son of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat in the Old Testament was a godly king. He made a few really bad choices. One of the choices that were really bad that he made was that he gave Jehoram to the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel, who were the worst king and queen in the history of the Bible, the most ungodly couple. He gave his son Jehoram to marry their daughter. And when they united, Jehoram's heart was just led astray. And they had child sacrifice going on. They had Baal worship everywhere. He had all of his family members murdered so no one would try and take his throne from him. He was a very bad person. And at the end of his life, in 2 Chronicles 21, verse 20, on his epitaph, this is what's written. No one was sorry when he died. Let's close this morning. No one was sorry when he died. I don't want that to be my story. I don't want it to be your story. I don't want it to be our denomination story. Just recently, very sadly, Australian of the Year, Professor Richard Scollier passed away after a very long battle with brain cancer. And he wrote an open letter that was to be written by read by his family after he passed. In one line, he said this: if my legacy was to continue beyond these words, I would be delighted and humbled to be remembered as a proud everyday Aussie who gave it a crack. Don't you love that? Only in Australia can a highly educated man come out and say, give it a crack. And we go, yeah, you're one of us. Legacy is not what we accomplish. Legacy is what others accomplish because of us. And everything we're doing and giving toward isn't about us being bigger and better and being better known. It's about what others now can do because they no longer have to carry that burden. So everything, if you can remember that this is about setting up others to flourish under us. And if we want our lives to count, if we don't want to end up like a Jehoram, we must swim against the current of complacency, cynicism, indifference, and disillusionment that many people in the church are currently immersed in. My plea to you this morning is don't waste your life. While you have breath in your lungs, do not waste your life. There's a very well-known picture by Van Gogh. It's called The Sorrowing Man at Eternity's Gates. Leave that up there just for a moment. It's a painting of an old man clutching his head, contemplating a life that he can never get back, and he's about to step into eternity. Every time I look at it, I wonder, what's he thinking about? Is he remembering opportunities he never took? Relationships he never reconciled? Risks he never embraced? Prayers he never prayed? Acts of obedience he kept postponing? Because truth be told, Beacon, one day all of us are going to stand at eternity's gates. And the question won't be, did we have any regrets? Because we all carry regret. But how are we going to feel about those regrets? Regret is a condition. It's a human condition of the heart. But not all regrets have the same weight. Two psychologists did a study on regret over the period of a person's life. They found that in the short term, people tend to regret their actions more, the wrong things they did. But over time, a dramatic shift begins to occur. In the long run, people overwhelmingly regret inaction more than their mistakes. And no one ever sets out to live a mediocre life of compromise, yet for so many people, this is where we sit. If I can read to you from the book of Matthew chapter 21, this is in the last week of Jesus' life, and it's almost like he's just, you know, trying to fire hydrant everything into these disciples before he leaves. And he says this in verse 28 to 31, "But what do you think about this? A man with two sons told the older boy, 'Son, go out and work in the vineyard today.' The son answered, "No, I won't go." But later he changed his mind and went anyway. Then the father told the other son, "You go." And he said, "Yes, sir, I will," but he didn't go. Which of the two obeyed his father? They replied, "The first." So many people's lives die on the altar of good intentions. If you notice what Jesus said, he didn't say, "Hey, when you get some time, go out in the vineyard and work. When the calendar clears, can you go out in the vineyard and work? When life slows down, can you go out in the vineyard and work? When the kids are a little bit older, can you go out in the vineyard and work?" Jesus said, "Go out today and get to work." And he affirms that it's not the promise that counts, but the obedience. Words and appearances can seem deceptive. It's the actual doing of God's word that matters in the kingdom of God. And what's particularly dangerous about this verses and our lack of understanding around it is that this isn't really rebellion, but it's self-deception. Perhaps worse, we often find ourselves surrounded in community, in church world, with people who comfort us and encourage us and have empathy for our disobedience. But this happens despite of our best intentions. And many of us today, all of us today, we carry dreams, we carry desires, convictions, and visions that never make it out of our hearts and heads. We mean to reconcile a relationship. We mean to reorient our lives back towards God. We say yes in our hearts, but the vineyard of obedience still remains untouched. It's not just spiritual, it's actually a psychological condition. It's called vicarious moral licensing. And it's the idea that just thinking about doing the right thing gives us a false sense of moral credit. We say things like, "I meant to reach out." Ever done that one? We say things like to people, "Oh, yeah, I'll pray for you," but don't actually. Or, "Yeah, I'm praying about that at the moment." And somehow in doing that, we feel this small sense of relief. But folks, it's not obedience, it's illusion. And today in modern society, people live caught in the tension of the second son. We say, "Yes, I will," but then we don't. Our faith often lives in good intentions, not transformed behavior. And when that gap between our intentions and our action widens over the years of our life, it leads us not just to regret, but also to the quiet death of integrity, of identity, and spiritual formation. When we see the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33, verses 31 to 32, it says this is daunting. "So my people come pretending to be sincere and sit before you." Hope you feel encouraged this morning. "They listen to your words, but they have no intention of doing what you say. Their mouths are full of lustful words and their hearts seek only after money. You are very entertaining to them, like someone who sings love songs with a beautiful voice or plays fine music on an instrument. They hear what you say, but they don't act on it." Ezekiel was an Old Testament prophet, obviously having a bad day. And he is prophesying to the Jewish exiles in Babylon. And God had appointed him as a watchman to warn the people to repent and return to God, not just to live in this illusion. And the theme is painfully clear. God is not impressed by emotions, by intention, or admiration. He needs obedience. And the scheme of the enemy, Satan's plan for your life and for my life, isn't that we deconstruct our faith and jump online and write a blog about it. His plan for you and I is just to have an apathetic faith. just to live in this illusion of intention. Because if we can keep us there, then we're no threat to him and we're no closer to Redlands for Christ, and our life will probably never shine the way that we deep in our heart want it to. And oftentimes, and Beacon's not like this, but our churches can be filled with people who agree with sermons but avoid spiritual discipline. You know, Jesus never applauded good intentions. He didn't say, "Well said, good and faithful servant." He said, "Well done." And Jesus teaches us that the kingdom is for those who go, those who obey, even if it's a wrestle to do so at first. And the beauty of the first son we read about in this parable is he starts in defiance. He says, "No, I'm not going." But then he goes, "You know what? I need to do it. Dad's asked me. I need to get out in the vineyard," and does it. His repentance, he didn't live his life just in this mirage of intention. So let me give you a couple of thoughts this morning. How can we actually move from a person of intention to a person of transformation? How do we make sure that we're not another Van Gogh man sitting in regret at the gates of eternity? How can we make sure when Az and Beck jump up, if we just take a church context, and this message is way bigger than just church, okay? I'm talking to us about our lives in general. So many of us have unfulfilled dreams in our hearts. We've got cars that are still sitting on Besser blocks in the backyard that we intended to renovate. We've got bathrooms still with tarpaulin wrapped around them that we started and we didn't finish. Some of you are just right now nudging your husbands. Some of you have got books that you started to write but kind of lost your way. You've got songs that you started. You've got paintings that you started. You've had ideas about a business to start, but life and its busyness. And I don't know about you, I don't want to stay living in a life of illusion that makes me feel a little bit good about myself just because I intended to do something. So how can we move? Let me give you the first thing. Really, really simple, okay? This is 101. Have a good look in the mirror. Stop lying to yourself. Have a good look in the mirror. You know why we don't like standing on scales? Because they tell us the truth. You ever stood on the scales and go, "That can't be right"? Maybe if I go to the bathroom first, strip off, then I'll come back. Brutally examine the story you're telling yourself. Or maybe right now you'll say, "Yeah, I will, but I'll get to it later." It's not the right time. God knows my heart. Boy, we've used that one, haven't we? God knows my heart. Well, that's the scary thing. He does. And these lies we tell ourselves have to be replaced by a fierce love for truth. And it's not easy. It's uncomfortable. The second thing that we need to do is just start small. Don't leave here and go, "You know what, I've intended to go to the gym and I haven't gone, so I'm back there tomorrow morning from 5 to 8 and I'm going to go every day for 3 hours and I'm going to," because it won't work. But that's the way normally we do things. We go from this place, this illusion of intention, and then we feel a little bit guilty about it, and so we jump into action. But I'm not looking for you just to feel guilted into action. What we need is the Spirit of God to permeate our hearts and to say, if you really want to live this life of obedience, then this has got to be more than an emotional reaction. One of the things I love about your pastors is that they don't, I've known them long enough, they don't use emotion to try and get you to give. You know, a lot of places I've been, and it's not just in the church, it's in the secular world too. You know, there'll be a lot of emotion attached and then try and get you to, in that moment, to give. And you commit yourself, but then you go home and go, "Hang on a minute. That's a huge commitment. And the emotion wears off. What they want us to do is to be obedient. I love the way Beck said it, be obedient to what God is saying to you. Starting small. Pick one area of our life where our intention has not yet become action. Just one area. And go to the vineyard and work. Text that person you've been meaning to. Reach out to that person that you've been a bit disconnected from. Confess that habit. Wake up and give yourself 10 minutes to pray tomorrow morning and to read some scripture. Apologize to your spouse. That's for someone this morning. Lead that meeting at work. Don't be afraid of those loud voices in the room. Turn that phone off that you've always talked about doing. Be present with your children. Little steps that we take that begin to allow intention to become action. Every ministry, every movement, every act of obedience begins with one simple decision. When I was here last, when Kathy and I were here last, I shared the story how just over 2 years ago we lost our son. And it's been the darkest, most traumatic 2 years of our life, as you can imagine, if you've ever lost a child. And changed our lives forever, changed the way we approach scripture, changed our way, probably preaching styles, changed so much about us. And just after losing Jaden, we created a ministry called Beautiful Crazy, which I shared about last year when I was here with you. Started it in one hospital. Not because we thought, you know, this is what, you know, I just need to do something to work through my grief. But we felt that there was this nudge inside of us. And I look back now and I know it was a Holy Spirit nudge. Then I didn't really understand it, but just felt we felt compelled to alleviate other people's pain as they sit in ICU wards. And so we created Beautiful Crazy, started in one hospital. Well, here we are 18 months later, active in 21 ICUs across Australia. And please, I do not say that to say that if and especially for anyone that's lost someone, that you should do something like this too. No, this is obedience to what we felt for our life. And I look at that now and go, I wonder, and we had every reason not to do anything about it. Going back into ICU wards that changed our life is not an easy thing. Sitting down with doctors and nurses and social workers and feeling the grief of other families is not an easy thing. But it's something we feel in our heart. It's a vineyard that we feel Jesus said, would you be bold enough to step into? And it started in one hospital. I mean, we didn't know what we were doing, so we took 50 bags up to one hospital, and 50 bags just overwhelmed. They had nowhere to store them all. And I've since realized, you know, they only really need 10 bags at a time, not 50 bags. But we started in one hospital. Start small. I think I announced it last year. I felt I needed to raise some money for Beautiful Crazy. And so I thought, you know, what better way to raise money than to ride a push bike from Perth to Byron Bay across all the dirt roads. And so let me show you this little video. It gives you a little bit of a snapshot. So 31 days, it raised $230,000 for Beautiful Crazy. And people say to me, you know, I don't know how you did it. You know how I did it? Started with one thing. Got back on the bike. Started riding a few more kilometers every day. People often ask about the thousands of kilometers, the headwinds, the exhaustion, the aching legs, the lonely roads. But that wasn't the hardest thing. The hardest thing was just starting. The hardest thing was actually making a commitment, because I knew once it was out and other people, I was accountable. The hardest part was moving from intention, I've got this really good idea, to action. And lots of people talk about things that they want to do one day. Lots of people have dreams sitting in their journals. Lots of people have callings sitting in their hearts. Can I challenge you? At some point, you've got to get on your bike. At some point, you've just got to say, you know what? I don't want to live as a follower of Jesus with good intentions. I want to live with obedience. At some point, you have to leave your driveway. At some point, you have to stop talking about the vineyard and walk into it. Every kilometer across Australia was simply the result of taking the next pedal stroke. That's how obedience works. And God rarely shows us the entire journey. But just pedal for today. Musicians can come. He simply asks us to take the next step. Beautiful Crazy exists today because one grieving family took the next step. 21 hospitals are reached because somebody took the next step. Families are being impacted because somebody took the next step. This church's future hinges on somebody taking the next step. Whether it's serving in kids' church, musicians making coffee, as long as you can. That's the criteria. It just starts with somebody taking the next step. That dream that's in your heart to own a house one day or to have a child one day or to create your own business one day, it just starts with taking the first step and not living in this place of illusion. One act of obedience became more than one life for us. And that's how the kingdom works. And Jesus is not condemning the weak-willed. He's calling us to wake up. You don't need a new vision. You need to act on the one that you already have. You don't need to feel it anymore. You just need to move. Let's not die with journals full of good intentions and lives that never leave the page. And let's not leave obedience in the realm of our imagination. You were made for more than ideas, Beacon. So don't die on the altar of good intentions. And that's all that God has ever asked of ordinary people like us. We don't have to be superstars. We're not that good. We've just got to act on what we feel God is stirring in our hearts. And one life surrendered to God always becomes more than one life. He's not looking for perfection. He's not looking for fame. Not needing extraordinary talent. Just faithfulness. Give it a crack. Get into the vineyard. Pray that prayer. Start that ministry. Share the gospel. Love that child. Forgive that offender. Serve the church. Give that finance. Answer the call. Because one day, our lives will be summarized in one sentence. Jehoram's was nobody cared. No one was sorry when he died. We got one life, one opportunity, one race. Don't waste it. And I know right now in this place, I can feel it. The Holy Spirit is just kind of giving a slight, beautiful, gentle nudge to hearts in this place. I wonder in 5 years, 10 years, what your life could be like if you decide today to get back in the vineyard. I wonder what changes could happen over the long term. I'm so excited about the future of this church that our kids one day are going to look back at a generation that knew what it was to get into the vineyard out of illusion and into the vineyard through obedience. And I wonder this morning if there's anyone here today that maybe you've come with a friend or you've just found your way here by yourself. Doesn't really matter how. And maybe you don't realize, but God has a great plan for your life. The Bible actually says that He loves you and me so much that He sent His only Son an act of obedience to die upon a cross for our sin, for all the mess we've made up until now and all the mess we will make in the future. God loves us that much. He wants to reconcile us back to himself. And you may not agree with what I've shared this morning, but we could all agree that this world ain't working the way it should. And somewhere we've lost our moral compass. Somewhere we've lost our way. And I wonder this morning within your life, the lostness you feel, the fog you feel that comes and just blows in around your life where you don't know your way through. I wonder this morning that if you would be bold enough to surrender your life to Jesus Christ and allow that fog to clear, I wonder where your life could be in a year or two. Because trust me on this, God will enter your life and he will transform you from the inside out. And I want to make an opportunity this morning for anyone in this place and you don't currently have a relationship with Jesus Christ. There's no magical twist to this. We're going to simply pray. And then for you, it'll be the act of obedience following that that allows you to step into the vineyard and begin this great journey of following Jesus. So right now, could we just close our eyes across here? And if you say this morning, hey, Ross, I don't have a relationship with God. I know about God. I know about religion. I've attended a church before, but I have never entered into a relationship with Jesus. And I want that relationship. I want to start this journey. You may not understand it all. That's fine. We don't understand it all. But you want to start that journey. Can I ask you this morning, simply just lift your hand up in the air. Allow me to see it this morning. And we're going to pray together as a church. If you say, hey, Ross, that's me. I want to surrender my life to Christ this morning. Just lift it up high and go, hey, I want to start this journey. Up the back there, thank you so much. You can put it down. Two people up the back there, thank you so much. You can put it down. Who else this morning wants to join those two people and just say, you know what, that's me. My life hasn't worked out the way I thought. And this morning, I want to open my life up to Jesus Christ. Last time as I look across, and then we're going to pray together. Awesome. Can we pray then? And especially for those two people that lifted up your hand this morning, let from our heart this morning, not from our head, but from our heart this morning, can we all together pray this simply? Jesus, today, here I am. I give you my life. Everything in my past, everything in my today, and everything in my tomorrow, I give to you. Take my one life. I receive your love today. In Jesus' name, amen. And let me pray over us as a congregation. Father, this morning, for this church in such an exciting stage, Father, it's our heart that no one would miss out. It was said earlier, this is not about amounts. It's about an act of obedience. Let us not be a people who live with good intentions only. But Father, help us today to take those small steps, that we would have those brutal looks in the mirror and be honest with ourselves and be bold enough to take a small step. This community will be better if we take a small step. Father, this community can only be impacted if we all take a small step. So, Father, give us the courage this morning, I pray, to get into the vineyard and to get to work. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's message. For more information about our church, please head to beaconchurch.com.au. We look forward to welcoming you to our home.